Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest Anfield Index Under Pressure podcast. My name's Dan Kennett, and with me to review the week from hell, I've got the sports science dynamic duo. It's first of all, it's Mr. Simon Brundish. Evening, Si.
Evening, Darth. It's good to be back. Well, it's not. I'd rather be away. This weather. Well,
they're talking about these two games, but there's plenty to talk about, mate. We need you. And I've got the doc, Professor Phil Barter. Good evening, Phil.
How are we doing, mate? Must be first for the season. Two defeats.
Yeah, doesn't happen very often. No. That's for sure. No. Yeah, but
I tell you what, this will be the first time that we've done a double defeat pod where there's more than just me and Darth. Usually, everyone else takes it.
This is true. Hamza is actually, I think he might be missing his first pod, but he has actually got the excuse of covering Chelsea Everton for the Times today, so tonight, so there you go. I mean, is that a good enough excuse? You make your own minds up. Right, anyway, we are here, we're going to talk about Crystal Palace shortly, but we're going to start off by talking about the Atalanta game, and Si, a 3-0 home European defeat. Oh my days.
Turned into a proper whacking, didn't it? It felt like we'd been larruped a little bit. Weirdly enough, I don't know how long we're going to talk about this, but it set up. Everybody expected to win, and it was going to be our great return from the horrible game, and the bounce back, and all of those cliches that happen. I don't know if you guys did as well, but thought that. I don't see a reaction going to occur, but I just presumed we were better than Atalanta and we were going to win 2-0 or 3-0.
Yeah. Because it's a home European game and Klopp doesn't lose many European ties. I mean, his record in European ties is amazing, period of his tenure. I think it's fair to say, Si, that the starting 11 for a home quarterfinal caused quite a bit of controversy in the national media. A lot of talk about Klopp playing a weakened team and all this. So it was Callagher in goal, Gomez, Konate, Van Dijk, Tsimikas, left-back, Jones, Endo and McAllister in midfield with Cody Gakpo, Nunes and Harvey Elliott in the front three. What did you see? You were there, by the way, we should add. You were there at the game. What was your thought when you saw the team sheet?
What is he doing?
So you would have liked to have seen him gone stronger as well.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier. I you can't live your life half pregnant. But we chose to get knocked up, and you can't then act like you're not or just now. You can't. There's no point putting a double run at this point. You should have been doing it early in the season. If you rotate, do it then. Like, this is the time when you should have primed your best players to be winning these two competitions. And obviously, we're basically chasing our tail at this point. What we're trying to modify loads in April at the death of the season because we didn't do it early in the season. So we're bringing lads back. We are we're trying to modify those lads that have played too much, even though McAllister and Van Dijk still play every goddamn minute of every goddamn game. There are some now that have obviously been deemed breakable that come off in every game that didn't earlier in the season. And now you're rotating Mo out for Harvey Elliott in a European semi. Like, there is going to be psychological impacts to the decisions being made. When those lads saw that team sheet go up, everybody, it would have given one of two reactions. I'm talking about the lads, not the ones that aren't picked, the ones that are picked. Even the ones that are getting to be chosen ahead of players they know are better than them. That they're going to be thinking, oh, this game is real. The boss thinks this game is easy. That's going to be one of them. Or the boss doesn't care about this game. They're the two outcomes. That's it. It's not, oh, the boss thinks we're the best for this game, because that can't be that's just not how a hierarchy works. And so I it sets the tone, let's say.
Okay. Yeah. Bart, before we get into the tactics and the pattern of the match, do you want to give us that stats pack? Because it's a pretty horrible one, isn't it?
The summary.
Give us a summary of the stats pack. Yeah, we'll obviously people can have a look at that full post-mortem in their own time.
I'm not going to do the full lot I'm not going to do that. 65-35 possession, touches 8-3-1 to 4-4-7, field tilt 63-36, total shots 19-11, penalty box 15-10, big chances, which is the one we probably want to focus on, 7 to them, 3 to us. XG 2.58 to us, 3.29 for them. Threat, which for me, I've got 0.57 for them and 1.19 for us, which means they converted 0.5 threat to 3.29 XG, which is over 550%. That is incredible for us to do at home. That's just, I've genuinely not seen that all season, or anyone close gets a 300% conversion at home. Away, fair enough, but at home, that's crazy. Pass success, 83 for us, 63 for them. But as you're seeing, we started the last three games have had really weird pass maps. And theirs is quite something, because they basically don't use the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
They went around our midfield.
Yeah.
And then went in quite hard into certain areas. Didn't pass it a lot, which is what their pass success, right? But they've effectively gone round our midfield into our zone 14 or the left half space, and then from there obviously created what they needed to do. But a quite extraordinary set of visuals for
The overall 1,000 simulations of the stats, what does it say for the match results?
Jeez, it's got us at, it's got 3-2 to them. 9%.
9% is most likely.
That 9% was the most likely score, so they still win. It's got 53.9% Atalanta win and a 26.8%.
It's a long time since the Monte Carlo has had an opponent winning at Anfield on the stats, right?
Yeah, absolutely nothing all season like that.
Yeah.
54%. It's a long time since.
Yeah.
We've been dominated that much.
Do you remember the 3-3? At home to Brighton last year, where Brighton's shot map, I think they only had six shots, scored three goals, but every single one was basically between the six-yard box and the penalty spots. And that's what the Atalanta pass map is like in this game. They only had nine shots, one outside. And they had so many from between the penalty box and the six-yard box, and then also within, centre of the box by near the penalty spot as well. It was just unbelievably good shot map from an opponent.
I said to you in the chat about, we were talking about big chances conceded. The game, I was thinking it was Napoli away. How many was it conceded then? Was it
seven? I think it was.
Seven, yeah.
Yeah.
So this was like another European game where we conceded a lot of big chances. I know it wasn't. But the worst thing is it's at home. I just, yeah, I mean, Sol must have been, yeah, he was having a week from hell, United. At least the Yankees won, I suppose, but it was just, you're so excited watching this. I just, yeah, it was not good. But no, I just completely, I didn't expect that performance, I have to say. I didn't expect, even with all the changes, I still didn't expect us to get beat like that.
Yeah.
And so, like Kev, like we said as well, first half, he saved a few big chances.
Yeah.
But he's still at fault for the first goal. It's just weird performances like that where you think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll come on to the goals in a minute, but let's focus most of our time on the period at 0-0, say, because straight away, Atalanta, I think we have a very slow start, it's fair to say, and Atalanta have an unbelievable chance after 3 minutes. Pasalic.
Yeah, it's just such a good job that they... I was selling it, saying at the time it was a good job that it fell to their lad who couldn't finish, who didn't score in the end. But yeah. Like, because I knew they got two good forwards, and I was right in line with the shot, and he just shanked an open goal wide. It was just
it came off Kelleher's face. Kelleher basically did an Alisson, sprawled himself, and he basically came off his face. And it ballooned. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I thought he'd shanked it wide, and he saw it first live. And he looked at the replay, and it was a massive save. He did the starfish.
I watched the second half replayed, but I just watched the first half again.
Yeah.
So I only saw it live. It looked like he shanked it wide, and I was like, "How have they given a corner?" And then I saw Kev wipe his face with a towel or something.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh, so, okay, that makes sense. So he actually got it on target. He hit Kevin in the face.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah. So what did you see at 0-0 in terms of the way the game was going and what we were trying to do and what they were trying to do? Because they have quite a unique style. But it's a style that we've had a lot of success against, principally. I'm thinking of Bielsa teams.
I'm not sure it's a style we've been great against. I think it's a formation we've been great against. And historically,
I think you meant the man to man nature of it, yeah.
But Brighton also play man to man, and they've caused us lots of problems.
They have.
And I thought after 25 minutes, I thought this game was going to be a Brighton game. I thought we could rack up seven, or we could get off, and then I don't know how fragile we were after the United stuff. That was my feeling after 25. Like, after the game, everybody's heads had fallen off because of the outcome of from 25 on, from 38 on. But for the first 25, we'd made a big error, but then we made a second kind of loose passing mistake from a bit of pressure in defence. But we didn't actually look like we couldn't get around them. And we created four really good opportunities. We cut them apart four times in the first 15 minutes, culminating in the Darwin ridiculous, I don't know what he was doing, where he going for a spectacular chip that he managed to put 10 meters wide.
It was the Brentford shot. He was trying the Brentford one again.
Yeah, oh God. Anyway, but up to that point, even though that was only the third shot, we'd actually had, that was the fifth time we'd cut through them, and we'd had really good opportunities to score. But through a stupid decision or the location of the pullback or the bad final pass choice rather than actual weight, choosing to play to the wrong guy or into the wrong position rather than to the spare man that we had ready for a tap-in. That started to worry me then, that we looked disjointed. Because we didn't pass into a place. It's the opposite of how Liverpool play. High press, high intensity, play into areas, because the pattern of play involves the guy with the ball, but also the guy without the ball. So everybody knows exactly whereabouts everybody should be at all times. And it didn't look like that. We were cutting them apart, but the place that people were running to in the box wasn't the place that it was being passed at.
Yeah.
That's what, and sadly, that's continued. But at 25, we'd done this repeatedly, and I thought we could have won this game quite easily. And then there was another mistake, and then another mistake, and then they gradually built into they were the ones causing us stress from about 25, 26 on, and we didn't create anything after that.
Yeah. The Elliots hit the bar and the post and the bar with the same shot. That was 26 minutes as well.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
That's it. So yeah. That was the last time we had any threat. And even then, that was a bit of brilliance rather than us causing them formation stress.
Yeah. And that was pretty unlucky.
That was the last moment.
The fact that came back out was very unlucky. Although there was one exactly the same. There was one exactly the same as that in the Arsenal game yesterday. I think it was the lad that came from Leicester, the midfielder from Tielemans, was it, I think?
Oh, you mean for Villa. Yeah, Tielemans.
Yeah, Villa, yeah, against Arsenal. Yeah. Anyway, but there was a lot of bad passing in this match. To be honest, it's a bit of a theme, both games. Pass completions, bad passing, bad structure, possession control as well. What's your general themes that you saw and want to talk about in that first half?
I think it's a continuation of some of the things we've discussed past three pods. I think the decision making has been poor in the final third. I think the passing in general just hasn't been the right way, the right speed, the right time, the synchronicity hasn't been there. And I think these are all similar signs, I have to say, of I think fatigue, not the right players being picked at the wrong time to rotate when, as Si said, you normally prime your side and you go with your start 11 for the big games. They're just churn out because they're used to playing with each other. I just think it reminded me a lot of, particularly that first period of time, we created some good opportunities, but like the previous games, we just made the wrong call. We didn't put it into the right area with a par physical shot on. We took a stupid shot on rather than play to a player. It was a continuation of stuff that we've been doing now, I would say, from a United FA Cup game. There's even little things started to creep into this game, which it just, our structure, we'd kind of got back to having, using the fullbacks really well, getting the high and wide, got that structure back again. But now in this game, we go back to effectively not using one of the sides of the pitch.
Yeah.
The right side of the pitch, if you look at the fast maps, it's shunted in. So it's we're narrowing the pitch when one of our strengths is to stretch them out wide, is to use the width and go with it. Particularly if they're there, you would expect us to go and press in those areas to win that ball. But we didn't do that. I thought there's no vertical passing into zone 14, which again, we'd started to utilise. When we got Nunez more into the game, we started to utilise him better. We've gone backwards on that front, and that's even worse in the Palace game, I have to say. The vertical passing into that channel, we're getting into those areas with the passing. So if you look at, so I haven't got it on this one, but on the next game, we've got a good array of passing coming in and out of zone 14, but it's not linking with our front players. There's a lot of structural problems, which I probably would put down to personnel. I wonder whether too much is being asked of Endo's really high in his average position in this game, which in previous games he's dropping in between the two back half, the two centre halves. So we were doing that. He wasn't doing as much in this game. So yeah, I thought that first half generally Yeah, I just thought it was poor decision making. I thought our structure wasn't helping. We were going backwards to doing what we had started to do really well. And it allowed Atalanta to grow into the game, get confidence. And when you don't take your big chances in the first 15, it does eventually matter.
Yeah.
You can't keep getting away with that.
The way I saw it was that we had a lot of players who looked overcooked. Right. And at the same time, on the same pitch, we had some players who looked blatantly undercooked. And that's a pretty nightmarish combination then, really.
Yes.
Because you had Endo who looked one of the ones who looks most overcooked as well. McAllister and Jones. I mean Jones looks off the pace in this game, he looked off the pace in the Palace game. And he's come back from a moderately bad injury, right? But I've never seen a struggle to build so much inside our own half as recent games, and
particularly with those two, with Mac, and because what they're generally good at is, if I think they acknowledge sometimes, you know what, we're not going to outrun these guys, so we'll make sure we can pass through us, and we operate more of a two man pivot. That's what they've done a lot in the European games. You and I were there when they were doing it quite well. So I think it's, but it just didn't. I don't know. I know what you mean. They just looked off it, and I don't. As I said, I think this is part of a series. I think there's accumulation of factors happening here. Mm. And I think the size right, the attitude was wrong for the start. But I do, you know, if you're going for stuff and you know you've got weaknesses in your side, your elite players have to step up, right? And they often have to put in a little bit more than the weaker players to cover up for those gaps. Eventually, those elite players can't do that.
Mm.
And therefore, the gaps are exposed. Now, Endo has done a remarkable job, but there is an element that it also helps when BVD and Canata are having some of the best seasons of their life behind them.
Mm.
Yeah, and Max playing really well. And if they're not up that game, then your six is going to get exposed. It's going to look worse because the chances that he creates are going to get
another player. So. Another player who's had a very poor couple of games is Canata. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something that's accumulation, like you said, the overcooked and not cooked, we just completely weren't in sync as a team. And I thought the midfield selection as well was not as mobile as it maybe should have been against an Atalanta midfield, which have come in here to win and be energetic and press. I'm just not sure you can get away with those two players in there. But I think there's a combination.
And Gomez was coming inside quite a bit.
Which I know drives you insane, right?
But it also wasn't helping our build-up at all. And he was losing the ball as well. So Endo, McAllister and Gomez were all losing the ball relatively cheap and getting turned over inside our own half. And I thought one of the things that, this is the end of the Jurgen era and stuff. I just thought we looked like a team who'd been suckered into playing into the traps the other team wanted us, exactly where the other team wanted us to play into. And we got done a lot by Gagan as playmaker, which is a bit of a kick in the teeth, really, when the journey we've been on.
Yeah, do you know what? This reminded me the first time in a while of last season.
Yes.
We got out tactics at home. And that happened quite a lot last season. And we also looked completely nutty gassed from minute one.
Yeah. There was five high turnovers on the mark stats for Atalanta in this match within that sort of 30-yard radius from the centre of goal, I think it is. Mark does them. About them. The possession control numbers. Si, do we have them for this match? We have them for both games because they were pretty alarming, right?
Yeah, they're terrible. They in this game we had not a single one of our players had a positive possession control.
Wow.
Which is it's remarkable.
Yeah.
If you thought look at the lads that played half a game, so Endo, CJ, and Harvey. Combined, they had a minus 42. They gave the ball away 42 times more than they won it. Endo's was on his own in one half, minus 13.
Oh, is this the Atalanta game as well?
This is just Atalanta, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Nice. Yeah.
Endo's Lucius, Endo did the thing that I've been kind of warning that man to man, he is terrible. When players run past him, he is terrible. He is like a turnstile. And he is mostly good in a very fixed formation at holding a position and blocking passes into a 10 rather than dealing with a 10. And when he has to deal with a 10, when they are man to man, he is the guy pressing the 10, but also the one being pressed by the 10. I just don't think he's very good at it. I think he's, let's just be kind and say he is limited. We aren't geniuses. Like, I think we lulled ourselves a little bit into going, yeah, we've got another Salah here. We've got another Jota here. We are smarter than everybody else in the room by getting him when nobody else wanted it. But perhaps we just had 2 months where he managed to raise his game and everything kind of went our way. So it felt like he was brilliant and he was better than everybody.
That's a little bit. I'd go a little bit more than that. I'd say that we played a system which really suited him for about 3 months, right? And it was a lot more compact and a lot more. I think that the things he had to do, the space he had to cover was smaller, and the things he had to do were less. Like, that's what I would say. And all of a sudden he's got a lot more to do, and he's a lot more fatigued. Yeah,
maybe he's got more to do, but I don't know why he'd have more to do, because I don't think our system's changed all season. I really don't. Right. You were talking during the game. You were talking about what our system was doing, and I was looking top down from the top of the main stand, which is probably the best view in the ground. Looking tactically, going, this is exactly the way we've played all year, and so I don't know if it looked different on TV or who was receiving the ball in space looked different on TV. Like we were making the exact same rotations. And it was frustrating me that we were choosing to make the exact same rotations against a man-marking team that we would make against a zonal marking team.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I think, on the physical side, I would say that we were outmatched, mm-hmm. physically outmatched in nearly every matchup in that first half, right? I don't. What did you think?
If you're man to man, the team that wins is the one with the most physically dominant individuals.
Yeah,
and that's where we usually excel. We usually have the bigger, stronger, faster. Klopp's team have the bigger, stronger, faster players.
Yeah,
that's pretty much the underpinning principle of Klopp. They have bigger, stronger, faster players than you. That are fitter, that can do it for longer. And in this game, we weren't. We were just maybe a little bit too short. Twice, Virgil made a big mistake.
Yeah.
And once was a mental mistake, once was a physical mistake, and the guy's not fitter, faster, and stronger than Virgil. But he made a physical error that cost us. And is that the physicality of the opposition, or is that we aren't possible? It's not possible for us to be at our peak when you played 910 minutes in the last four weeks.
Yeah.
I'd say it was latter as well, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
lads, it's just diminished. So they can't. So what happens when you have the highest pressing team in Europe that cover the most high speed distance? When you lose the capacity by, say, 2% of your high speed running, so you're typically able as a team you're producing like 13k of high speed running, and suddenly you're producing 12.5, but your system is designed around you making 13k. That means there are going to be gaps, and then you look like a dickhead as soon as that happens, because there's a big gap and it looks like you're in the wrong place or somebody's made a mistake. But it's just that the guy making the run made the runner at half a meter per second slower than he usually does. So that throws everybody off around him. Because what goes from being a front foot defensive role, a defensive function as a team, everybody pressing at the right time, it's not going to be all together. But it's going to be in little waves, but it's all going to be in time together. So everybody knows from where one person is strategically in relation to themselves, the pitch, and the opposition and the ball, where they're going to be at what time and what angle they're going to have to take. Suddenly there's somebody out. So instead of making their run, they're having to make their run, then see somebody is in a different position. So after cover, the passing lane behind that. Now you've gone from being this front foot aggressive sprinting forward team to shit emergency. I'm going to have to cover somewhere. I'm going to make a different run. And then everybody is suddenly having to cover behind, and you end up sprinting backwards, which is exhausting. You having to just change direction has a metabolic cost, but you having to repeatedly change your direction at high speed, it has a massive different metabolic cost.
Yeah.
You know, you were saying, you asked me, I don't know what it looked like on TV. Do you know, it looked like those possession control stats that you were reading out. It was absolutely horrendous. It's like all the good things that we win the ball and we pass it and we build, and we couldn't do any of those things. It was just, oh my God, it was terrible. And we couldn't hold the ball up front. And yeah, anyway. So a lot of criticism for Caoimhín Kelleher in overall in this match. But let's be honest, right? He still saved 3.2 post shot and only let in three goals. So he's still slightly better than what he faced. Problem is, you can't face that many big chances as a keeper and not expect to concede some.
I get that, but that ain't far off size and energy being half pregnant. You're in goal to save shots, right? And I would say the first goal, which was pretty critical, he should have saved.
Yeah.
That wasn't the big chance. That was a fairly routine save down to his left.
Yeah.
He palms that
and he goes under his body. Yeah, yeah.
Looks exactly. Like he gets it. But we go in a 0-0 at half time, who knows?
But then immediately before the break, there's a clear one-on-one fast break, and he saves a big chance on the counter. So we're going in 1-0 down instead of 3-0 down.
Yeah, I just think
it's a hard life being a goalkeeper, mate.
It is, and that's what I'm saying. It's a hard life being a keeper, and people you could save five big chances, 10 one-on-ones, but if you let one in between your hands and you lose the game, people are going to pick up on the one you let behind your hands.
I know.
And
that such is life. Keeper.
But I do think there's an element. I think things are catching up with Kev. This is his first run of playing. What? How many games now has he played?
He's played more minutes than Alisson this season.
Yeah, but back this—that's the first time in his career he's played at top level. Not like a middle of the Premiership. This is Liverpool Football Club going for the title, going for this cup, going for that. The pressure of Klopp, and I just think there's a few things catching up with him now as well. Because I thought this was his worst performance in the run.
Yeah.
And I say that even though he's saved the big chances, because I think, is it a third as well? I think
he lets the ball carry out
into the players' hands, isn't it? And I just think, roll it back a few games, Kevin doing that.
He's saving
the stuff that we expect him to save, and he pulls off a couple of worldies in this game. He saved the big chances, but didn't save the stuff we'd expect him to save. So,
yeah,
I just think it is a hard life being a keeper, but he's just got to accept that is part of being a keeper. You've got to save the basics first.
Has he played over 2,000 minutes?
He's played. I just had this up. 2,500. Oh, including internationals, he's played 3,300 minutes.
Wow, that must easily be the biggest of his career.
It's the biggest of his career. 3,531. My bad.
Wow.
I was reading Trent. 3,531 minutes, and that is 101 minutes more than Ali.
Yeah, crazy
season, because he played because Ali's not played any internationals, and Kev's played all of them. So I just wanted to contextualize this, right? And it's something I talk about like professionally, is the reserve goalies as well as like the understudy centre back, right? If it's a young one, they have never developed. They've never extended their capacity for repeat concentration bouts. So at a lower level, at a younger level, they'll play once a week. As they get close to the first team, they're not even playing once a week. You're playing training every day, but it's not the same. It's not for 90 minutes, and it doesn't kill you if you concede a goal. You just conceded a goal and it's training, and you might get shouted at. More likely, it would be a joke, whatever, right? But the capacity to concentrate, to focus for 100 minutes a game is very similar. If you talk to any sports psychologist, it's similar to the capacity to high speed run and then you have to make all of these cognitive decisions, like 40,000 cognitive decisions during a game of where you're going to move, right? You don't get to do that. You don't get to build up the capacity to do that as a reserve. And as a 25-year-old reserve goalkeeper, right, it's been 5 years since, 4 years really, since he was even regularly playing once a week.
Wow.
And he's gone from regularly never not playing at all to not only playing once a week, he's playing twice a week now since... When did Kev come back in? So he's playing
Brentford.
For
Brentford.
Nine straight weeks, twice a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's just probably a bit mentally tired.
Yeah. So I mean, I think he's just, this has caught up with him.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full, and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.